Hello and welcome to the Western Plains Cultural Centre podcast session. Today we have Lara Scolari, Acting Education Officer.
Hello.
I am Kent Buchanan, the Curator of the Cultural Centre. We also have Jessica Moore, our Collections Officer.
Hi.
And Caroline Edwards, our Assistant Curator.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about a new exhibition at the Western Plains Cultural Centre, which is Strange Voyage by Joseph McGlennon. Joseph McGlennon is an artist based in Singapore who has had a long career in the commercial art world, essentially running an advertising agency. He is an artist who uses photography to communicate issues surrounding colonialism. And this particular exhibition focuses specifically on the kangaroo. Caroline, are you able to tell us a little bit about the exhibition?
Sure. The exhibition opened a couple of weeks ago and it runs until the 24th of June in the project space. And it features a suite of eight digital prints that Joseph McGlennon produced. It's his first solo exhibition, and that is something I find really remarkable about him as an artist and this exhibition, that it just sprung out of nowhere. He just popped onto the art stage, and he's represented by Michael Reed now, who's a highly prestigious art dealer. And Michael Reed snapped him up, and Joseph McGlennon produced this series of work in 3 weeks. And the exhibition features kangaroos that have been taxidermied, which Joseph has sourced from various places, from museums, from private collectors, from taxidermy enthusiasts, from artists. And he's photographed the kangaroos in front of British landscapes. And he's then digitally manipulated the images to create these darkly mysterious atmospheric scenes. And the result is the kangaroo is placed in front of this strange landscape in which it has no history, no connection, no context. And the result is quite unnerving. And when you stand in the exhibition, you go through all kinds of emotions. And the longer you're in there, the more emotional you become about the subject matter. So Joseph McGlennon is exploring notions of colonization, of globalization, of cross-cultural understandings and misunderstandings. And it's really worth coming and spending some time in the exhibition just to nut out how you feel about these kangaroos in this strange landscape.
I think Caroline picks up on a really interesting point about the mysterious, ethereal quality to the works that I think is part of their strength. And I think that uneasiness with the images comes from the fact that we both recognise elements within the image, most notably the kangaroo, but placement of it in an unfamiliar kind of environment, or unnatural environment for the kangaroo, creates this juxtaposition that is unsettling. Mm-hmm. And it's somewhat of I imagine, the feeling that the first white settlers to Australia must have felt in the environment here, slightly unsettled, that things were not what they expected. Things were upside down and back to front. And so they have this sense of being thrust into this environment that feels unfamiliar and having to make a go of it. And I think that uncomfortable relationship that we have with our environment, and our, particularly for white Australians, for being from an English or European background and trying to connect and trying to relate to the Australian environment, has been a 200-year journey that I don't know that we're completely at yet. Mm. And so I think McGlennon's images are really great at capturing that uneasiness and complicated relationship that white Australians in particular have with the landscape in Australia.
I think what's also really interesting about the work is that McGlennon is really highlighting the peculiar nature of the kangaroo and ideas of displacement. He does refer to Cook's voyage to Australia and the interest and fascination, I suppose, at this strange animal that was bouncing around the Australian landscape. And in a sense, McLennan has successfully managed to present the kangaroo in a strange way. So for us, whilst the kangaroo is extremely familiar and something that has become symbolic of Australia as a nation, now seems strangely unusual, I suppose, in that they are quite formal portraits and they are quite menacing in a way in terms of these lush backdrops with heavily clouded skies.
Many of the kangaroos actually look like they're looking at us. They're making contact with us as the viewer. And so the very intense kind of interaction that you have as a viewer with these kangaroos, that they stare back at you and they connect with you, and they looked somewhat, you know, surprised at our treatment of them and our understanding of them and our relationship with them. And they it's quite confronting in that sense, that having these animals create a kind of or attempt to with their gaze an equal relationship between us as humans and them as animals.
Now, Lara, from an educational point of view, there's certainly a lot there for schools to engage in, not just art students either. I think that there is the opportunity to start to talk about colonisation.
Absolutely. To me, the whole idea of the kangaroo in this, you know, having this strange voyage is nearly like, where does Australia or Australians sit within the world stage? Like, 'cause Australians don't really, where do they fit in? You know, it's quite broader for me. and he's not fitting in. He is quite lost, the kangaroo or she.
Are Australians seen as an oddity in much the same way as a kangaroo?
Absolutely. Like in Hollywood or, you know, there's the Australian actress, you know, there's only two of them, or, you know, that are famous. So they're different. They're likeable. Everybody likes them. But where do they really belong? And I think that's what it says to me.
And again, you know, the kangaroo is very much like a metaphor of this strange hybrid creature that is, you know, when it was first encountered was part mouse and part greyhound and part, you know, rabbit and part dog and all of these weird things. People couldn't really understand where it came from and what it is. And again, that kind of unusualness and uniqueness of the kangaroo, I think the reason why we celebrate it as a country is that it responds to our own character.
They're an amazing creatures. Like they're highly adaptable.
Yeah.
They live on anything. They're fast. They're, you know, all of their attributes. They're an amazing animal. Like you can't domesticate them. You can, and even if you try, it doesn't work. There's so many things for this animal that, you know, I think as Australians we hold dearly and love to hold dearly. I think we love having the kangaroo as a symbol of our people.
And it's a bit of we're having a bit of a celebration of the kangaroo at the Western Plains Cultural Centre at the moment. Just outside the project space, we have Menagerie in the main gallery, and one of the most popular works in that exhibition are three ceramic kangaroos from the artist Dani Meller. And children just go wild for these. Adults love them. They're incredibly appealing, yet so inherently theoretical, complex. It excites the mind in every direction once you lay your eyes upon them. And then over in the museum in Dagan Nyari Nangira, we have Lynn Riley from Sydney, who has spent many years creating kangaroo skin cloaks for decorated with Wiradjuri designs, which she makes specifically for important people in her life. So wherever you go in the Cultural Centre at the moment, you need to think about kangaroos, appreciate kangaroos, and think about how, you know, artists contextualise them.
And how still relevant and potent the symbol of the kangaroo is for us as Australians. And I think one of the strengths of particularly Joseph McLennan's show is that each of the kangaroos depicted has their own distinct personality. They're unique individuals, and I think that's also heightened by the fact that he's using photography. That it's almost like a studio portrait, a kind of 19th century Victorian formal studio portrait. And so it gives these images a lot more legitimacy as documentation or record than potentially if he had painted them or drawn them. So it's really interesting that he's chosen photography as his medium. And it actually, I think, gives the work a greater kind of dimension and a unusualness and a kind of factuality to the images, even though we recognise in them that the juxtaposition between the kangaroo and the Scottish Highlands is not something that would have actually happened. So I think it's really interesting that he's chosen to use photography.
Absolutely.
And so, so effective in that use. I mean, the juxtaposition between the kangaroo, the subject, and the background.
And particularly the blackberry bush.
Yes, is artificial and it's been heavily photoshopped. And that's a testament to his skill as an artist to create, use artificial process to create a bizarrely natural art form that we can relate to. And as Jessica just said, the fact that it is photography sort of humanises the kangaroo, and when you spend some time with them, they start becoming like humans and you start
having favourites. I see every personality and every emotion that I think each individual will be able to relate to within each different image.
Yes.
I also like how it's a very ominous foreboding what's happening with the weather and the climate within each picture as well. And I love the use of the bush and the butterflies.
That's it. I mean, those elements of those, not just the kangaroo as being something introduced to European kind of culture, this idea of the impact of introducing things into the Australian kind of environment, you know, the blueberry bush that's, you know, an introduced species. But you're right, you spending any length of time in the exhibition, you actually make emotional connections to these animals in a very poignant way. And I think that kind of menacing quality to the environment in the weather background as well helps to make the experience almost sublime. It's very dramatic and very emotional.
The reason, obviously, that we stage this exhibition is that it engages directly with the theme of the animal in art. And whilst they're not in our collection, we've borrowed them for the sake of this exhibition, it's also a really great opportunity for us to have people consider the role of the animal within art, but also what animals represent, etc. How do people feel about what these particular works say about the animal in relation to the collection?
Well, I think they are very interesting. In terms of our collection that we have for the animal in art, we have very little works in that collection that relate to early relationships to the animal. White people being kind of confronted with Australian animals and working out this new relationship to Indigenous animals. So in that sense, they really are part of a far longer tradition in Australian art history, I think, that is trying to come to terms with the natural environment and using animals as a way to explore both the unfamiliarity of the environment, its strangeness, its peculiarity, but also finding in animals a metaphor or a symbol for the Australian character. The fact that the kangaroo, the platypus, the koala, the emu are not found anywhere else in the world is something that I think Australians celebrate, that Australians as a nation have a particular character and a particular sort of sense of identity. And so we have taken these animals on as being emblematic of that. But there is certainly a connection to early Australian colonial history that artists are not looking at anymore, really, in a very sort of sustained way. And I think that this artist has chosen to do that and to use animals as the metaphor for that is really interesting and something that, you know, we would jump over, you know, ourselves to get these into the collection. They are pristine works that are really
fabulous,
rich and deep with layers of meaning that artists, again, like I said, are not exploring very much anymore. So they're quite unique in that sense.
And they definitely communicate quite a lot about the Australian experience and the position that Australia holds within the Commonwealth and the early desire for Australia to become a little England, along with its flora and fauna that was introduced. And there's definitely a sense of unease about these photographs. What he's done is he's essentially reversed it. He's taken something native from Australia and taken it to the English countryside. And certainly there's definitely a sense of tragedy about the photographs, which possibly links directly to a sense of unease about that we still, as Australians, have about how colonisation happened, and essentially maybe a kind of a guilt that we have about being on this land when there's still many unresolved issues. Mm. But at the same time, you know, they do sort of fit into art history in a sense that they are these formal portraits that are expressing a very strong official feel about
them. There's an element of control at play, and I think a lot of early Australian artworks were trying to use art as a way to control and understand and structure the Australian environment in a way that you could not laterally do. There was droughts, there was floods, there was the heat of summer, there was all of this stuff that was uncontrollable about the Australian experience. And so having very official, formal, structured art was a way to try and sort of, you know, psychosomatically put control over the landscape. And I think we still very much struggle with the uncontrollability of the Australian landscape. Mm. And so these, the formality of these works still speak to us contemporary.
There was an interesting point raised by Michael Reed in a talk that he gave at the Cultural Centre a few weeks ago about the English attempt to introduce the kangaroo to Kew Gardens, which of course ended very tragically, particularly during winter when they came out and discovered their kangaroos had frozen. And there is also a feeling in those photographs that they're not. If we assume that they're alive, they won't be for much longer because the weather is really not conducive to their lives. Mm. So when we look at the photographs, they're either already deceased and are taxidermied, or they're kind of struck in this moment where they're within this landscape, they're looking at us, and there's a sense of them wanting to speak to us through their eyes, and in a sense that they're trapped, and that and that the end is near. Mm. Now, as ever, there's a tremendous amount of things happening at the Cultural Centre. Caroline, what have we got this Friday night?
This Friday, the 1st of June at 6 p.m, we're very honoured to be hosting Brian Parks, who is currently the CEO of the Jam Factory in Adelaide, which is an amazing education facility which focuses on craft and design. And previously, Brian was the Associate Director of Object Gallery, and he was involved in the development and some of the curatorial work in Menagerie. So he'll be presenting on his experiences on Friday night, so I hope you can come along. It'll be a great informative evening.
And for anyone that came last Friday night to hear Nicole Forshue, who was the co-curator of the exhibition, she gave us a really fantastic perspective as an Aboriginal curator working with the communities, etc. And this will be a great opportunity to hear from Brian, to hear his perspective, coming pretty much from a design craft perspective. So that would be really a really great talk this Friday at 6 o'clock. The Cultural Centre has always got public programs. Lara, what have we got?
Oh, we've got a multitude of workshops, artwork, particularly a lot of art workshops happening at the moment, and they seem to be busier than ever. And we're also just revamping our schools program with our hands-on workshops, which are for school groups to come in, have a tour of the current exhibition, be inspired, then go back over to the wet studio where they have a local artist tutor them, and they create a work that they take home with them. That's very, very popular too at the moment. Adult workshops, we're nearly booked right out. We've got life drawing coming up, so if you're interested, please don't hesitate to jump on the website and check out what's available.
Fantastic. As ever, the centre is about engaging with what we have on display. It's not just about just looking at stuff. We try to provide as many opportunities for people to come at a range of different angles. Mm-hmm. Please check the website for anything related to the Cultural Centre, wpccdubbo.org.au. And until next week, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kent.
Thank you.
Thank you.